If you would, open your Bibles and follow along with me as we will be reading from Luke chapter 4. Appreciate Brother Jeff reading for us from Matthew's account of Satan tempting Jesus on this occasion. And there's some things, one thing in specific, that Luke's account has that is different than Matthew's account, and that's what we want to look at this evening in the time that we have together. But let's go to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." And that is, that last verse, exactly what we want to look at this evening. An opportune time. Luke here, who has written for us the account of Satan's temptation of Jesus, had some things that we can now apply to ourselves in this last verse here. And those concluding words that he has written for us ought to be very sobering. And that's what we want to do this evening. What can we learn from this statement that will help us in our own struggles on a day-to-day basis against Satan and his temptations? So I have 4 points this evening that I want to look at. And the first is that Satan is the source of all evil temptations. I said, well, I know that. That's right. But it's good to keep in mind. It's good to remember that. Temptations to do evil are of the devil. They're of Satan. They're not of God. Are they? Turn over, if you will, to the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 13. James chapter 1 and verse 13. The writer says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." It's not God that does the tempting. But Satan is the one that does it. He's the one that seeks to deceive and to entice us so that we'll become entrapped in sin. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. Well, Paul here, writing to the Corinthian brethren, was talking about marriage here. And in verse 5 he says, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." When a man and a woman are apart, there's that temptation, isn't there? Satan seeking out individuals like that. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Second Timothy chapter 2, and let's begin in verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. It reads, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Verse there, and what it says in verse 26, that they come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. The devil snares people. He catches them, doesn't he? And we have to be aware of that. Having been taken captive by who? By Satan. To do his will. One more passage. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Talking about Paul writing to the Ephesian brethren about the whole armor of God. He says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles, some translations use the word schemes, I believe. It's we need to be prepared. Because who is it that is tempting us? It is Satan. And we must clearly identify that adversary. Satan. We need to make sure that we understand it so that when and if we fall short, that we're not blaming God for that. That is not God. It is Satan. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It reads, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He walks around like a roaring lion, looking for, seeking for, trying to catch people in his wiles, in his schemes. We need to prepare our minds and our lives to overcome Satan. That's the frame of mind that we need to be in. So point number one is that Satan is the source of all evil temptations. Well, the second point that we want to look at this evening is that Jesus faced more temptations from Satan. Be turning, if you would, back to Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. We read in verse 13 that Satan had departed from Jesus until an opportune time. And if you go over to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, it begins and reads, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to claim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So all bore witness of him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' And he said to them, 'You will surely say this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.' Then he said, 'Assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him up to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So we see here, a little bit later on in chapter 4 of Luke chapter 4, that after Satan's departure from Jesus, it was just temporary. Here we have an example of Jesus enduring another temptation. And there were many more. We could have many sermons on the temptations that Jesus occurred or encountered in the Bible. And here, the account of the wilderness temptations, his rejection at Nazareth, and when those of Jesus' own hometown turned against him with wrath, they took him up to what? The brow of the hill. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. They wanted to kill him right there. Yet, how did Jesus react? He turned around, walked through the midst of them, and went away. How could he have reacted? He could have reacted with wrath and indignation, couldn't he? But that's not how he did. That's not what the scriptures show us. He could have been revengeful, but he wasn't. He overcame the temptation to exhibit evil attitudes and actions. And many other occasions, as I mentioned, that we could read about, provided temptations to wrath, impatience, pride, compromise, or even giving in to fear. Another one that I thought of was Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 37, when Jesus was on the cross. Let's go look at that really quick. Luke 23, verses 35 through 37. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There's people mocking him as he's up on the cross. Jesus, who had the ability to call to God, and what? Call 10,000 legions down if he desired. What we see is in Jesus' example was he was one who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 15. Let's start in verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a perfect example we have in Jesus. So Jesus faced more temptations from Satan, but yet he overcame every time. That's our second point. Our third point is that Satan seeks opportunities, as we saw again in our key verse, Luke 4, verse 13, until an opportune time. So that leads us that Satan is looking for opportunities. It's not just, "Hey, I'm going to tempt you a couple of times and then I'm gone and you'll never see me again," is it? No, and I believe we all understand that. It's again and again and again. He wants to get at us. We learn that Satan never gives up seeking those opportunities. He wants to tempt us to sin. If we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, what did we see that he is portrayed as? See that he says, "Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He's portrayed as a lion that's walking around seeking. He may retreat after an unsuccessful temptation, as we saw that he did with Jesus in Luke's account. But only for a time, a season, whatever the case may be, until an opportune time. Go over, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 16. And again, we're looking at Satan seeking opportunities here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Again, we're talking about what we've already looked at back in verse 11, the armor of God. And in verse 16 it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Well, who's the wicked one? There he's portrayed as a wicked individual, a wicked one, Satan. What else do we see in that verse? "Which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So what is Satan doing? He's got this bow and arrow, if you will. I kind of think back to the Lord of the Ring movies, the trilogy that they had there, and you see all these big fight scenes and all these people lighting everything, pulling them back, and then they let them go. You know, the flaming arrows. That's the vivid picture that I get in my mind of what Satan is doing. He says, "Oh, I see an opportunity. Oh, there's Nathaniel over there. All right, let's boom." He wants to get me. We're not talking about Cupid here, and you know, this is something you don't want to hit you. You don't want a fiery dart to hit you, because what happens? It may destroy you. But that's how Satan is portrayed. If you go back to verse 11, it says again, the wiles of the devil. We're warned against standing against those things. That's what we need to be careful of and be mindful of. So all of this, it speaks of Satan's crafty, cunning, deceitful way of lying in wait for our souls. That's what we need to watch out for. Satan has evil men doing his destructive work of preaching false doctrine, promoting immorality, causing division, and ignorance and rebellion may bring some to his side. So we need to be mindful that Satan is seeking opportunities. That's point number three. So our last point this evening, point number four, is that we must not provide Satan that opportunity. That opportune time when he comes back. We need to make sure and be mindful that we're not providing him that opportunity. Be turning, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, just back a couple of chapters from where we should be in our Bibles, if you're following along. And we're going to see that under no circumstance can we let down our guard when it comes to Satan and his temptations. If we do, that's when those fiery darts are going to get us. That's when the wiles are going to get us. That's when his schemes are, we're not going to be mindful of them, and then he's got us. And as we have seen already in the scriptures read, that he's constantly seeking that opportunity to entice us to sin. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian brethren, let's go back to verse 25. It says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Nor give place to the devil. What the Apostle Paul was warning against was that opportunity. If we give place to the devil, then we've given him that opportunity. Instead, we need to be sober and watchful for Satan's attack. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We already read verse 8, but we'll read it again. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." What does the next verse say, though? "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." We need to resist the devil. those opportunities may arise, but we need to be mindful of them, we need to be watchful, we need to be careful. We should learn from those who did provide Satan an opportunity. There's another lesson in and of itself of those that we see in his examples in God's Word that have fallen short. We'll look at a couple of them here. Go back to the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 2. John chapter 13 and verse 2. Let's begin in verse 1. John 13 and verse 1, it reads, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself." And from there we see that he goes on and he washes the disciples' feet. But what do we have? We have Judas here. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Jump down to verse 27. We see that Jesus here is identifying his betrayer. It says in verse 27, "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" That opportunity was made available. It was there to Judas, and he took hold of it. An example of an opportunity that was provided, and the wrong decision was made. Another well-known example is in the book of Acts, chapter 5, in the first three verses. We have Ananias and Sapphira here. We want to look at Ananias. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?'" He had it in his heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. He gave Satan an opportunity to fill his heart with that temptation to lie, and he fell short. We must be mindful and not provide Satan that opportunity, brethren. We have to be mindful and watchful. Be turning over, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, as we will be bringing the lesson to a close shortly. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, we see that we are to pray that the Father not lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's part of what we need to do. What we can do as Christians is to pray that we not be led into temptation, and that we be delivered from the evil one, from Satan. Christians filled with God's word will find the way of escape to overcome any and every temptation that Satan has for us. On last Wednesday night, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 in our class on prayer. Let's read it once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It reads, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God is not the one doing the tempting. He allows it. He wants to know if we're faithful. But there's always a way of escape. And that's what we need to be mindful of. So one last scripture as we bring the lesson to a close. See in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord isn't willing that we all perish and burn in hell. What he wants is people to do his will. And he has set things in place. And brethren, we need to be mindful that Satan is the source of all evil temptation. Jesus faced more temptations from Jesus just than those that we see in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. We need to realize that Satan is seeking opportunities. He's actively looking. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to watch for those opportunities and guard against them using the whole armor of God. And we must not provide Satan that opportunity. Let us be mindful that Satan may return until an opportune time. So this evening, this has not been a lesson on what you need to do to be saved, but if you've not obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you've brought shame and reproach upon the church, then we encourage you to come forward. We'll pray for you. Or if you just have something on your mind that you need the prayers of the congregation for, come forward this evening, and we will pray for that as we stand and as we sing.